You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. Little bit of a wobble on the first day of the real new year, I think, David. A little bit of a sell-off, certainly in the United States, and certainly a backdrop of political uncertainty, which is, again, extraordinary what we've been seeing.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's unexpected. We've been gearing ourselves up for some kind of sell-off. I think there kind of worries about the extent of the stimulus package that might come through and what the consequences are going to be. But at the moment, it's very political. There's a sell-off in tech today. Or there will be a sell-off in tech today. I'm just looking at the pre-openings on Wall Street, and the reason is that Twitter has come down because they suspended Trump's account. I don't know what the consequence of that is really means, the fact that they suspended it, why that should affect Twitter. But I think there's worries that what it might invoke, you know, in other words, there might be criticism that this is not free speech. But I can understand their side. If this is, if he's going to use it to incite people to burn down or trash the inauguration or march on the inauguration, then I think they probably got every right to prevent it. But, you know, this is there are a lot of political debates going on about that, because Facebook have done something similar as well.
So it's a private company, David. It's a private company. There's nothing to do with the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, whichever amendment is. If you're a private company, you can do whatever you like. You have your own constitution as Twitter, and they're absolutely right to do it, because what happened last week was reprehensible.
It was full. I mean, the newspapers over the weekend were full, and now it's the debate, you know, what do you do with Trump? Do you impeach him? There's a whole lot of issues around it. Biden wants to get on with his agenda. If there is an impeachment, it's going to take a long time. He needs to get on with stimulus. He wants to get on with changing things, with addressing the pandemic. So a huge number of debates going on at the moment and discussions, I think, which are destabilizing the market. But you know, Lindsay, I think the market's a bit fatigued as well.
Yes.
I feel fatigue. When I say I feel fatigue, I mean we had a big run, and we had a big run last week. You say, okay, just take a few steps back, absorb what's happening in the world, you know, absorb the politics that are happening in the world, absorb what's happening with a pandemic. You know, as we've been discussing, I think when it starts to touch you personally, you suddenly realize how horrific this virus is. And one can't brush it off lightly. So I think they're a little dark at the moment. So I know markets are strong, but maybe it's my personal reflection. But you know, I do feel a little bewildered and a little overcome at the moment by really what's been happening on the virus side and the politics side.
Be very careful of the virus, David. I'm not in South Africa. I'm in the relatively secure world of the Netherlands. But, you know, personal experiences have made me come back down to earth a little bit. I wear a mask when I cycle around. And the people that tell me, interviewees that are really clever people, and brush it off and say, oh, no, it's just another flu and we shouldn't lock down. Absolute rubbish. When you've experienced what I've experienced over the weekend, which I won't mention now, then maybe those people would change their minds. And taking a step back, I mean, the dollar rand has taken a step back as well. It's currently 15.60. It was 14.50. About 2 weeks ago. It's now 15.60.
That's dollar strength.
Yeah. Very slight dollars. It's a 1% move. We'll come to that in a moment. Anyway, British pound against the rand, 21.01. The euro dollar is 121.50. It was 123 and a bit a few days ago, probably the last time we spoke. But yeah, there's a little bit of a risk-off feeling at the moment. And the gold price has gone from 1950 to 1835. In the few days. I don't know what Bitcoin's doing. I know what the US 10-year bond yield is doing. It's 111 from being 0.88 a couple of weeks ago. But there's a little bit of maneuvering in the markets, if you like.
I think it's because of what we've been discussing. I think people are feeling a little uneasy. You know, the bond yield going up, you can take it from a number of points, you know. It could be worries that with the kind of stimulus package that Biden was talking about, it just means that there's going to be more bonds on the market. You know, in other words, with his heavy supply, even though the Fed is buying and keeping rates down, you might be overwhelmed by supply. That you know, that kind of it means there are more sellers than buyers. I mean, when there are more sellers than buyers, rates go up. You know, when there's more supply coming on, because that supply has to be absorbed, and I don't think the Fed can absorb all of it. So there's worries about you know, that's pushed up rates. So there are concerns. And on the other hand, with the yield going up over 1.1%, that's also drawing in some attention from outside. So it's a mixture of issues, but I mean, that's why I think the Rand is under the kind of pressure as well. And you know what's interesting, and that's why you've got to be so careful, because last week when the Rand was where it was at the 1450 level, the natural inclination was to say, oh, dollar's going to continue to weaken. This is before the storm on Wednesday, last Wednesday. The dollar's going to weaken, therefore we can see the Rand at, you know, back at 14 or 1350. So where is it now? It's 1560, and everybody's embarrassed by making those kind of calls. So, you know, the market is so fluid and so difficult at the moment. Lindsay, I've been trying to work on a presentation.
Yes.
And the thing is, when you try and do a presentation, you've got to use hysterical data, historical data, which is
some of your theories are quite hysterical. But
you know, Lindsay, and it's so difficult to actually try draw a line through it. In other words, a symmetrical line through what you want to say. There are so many ifs and buts and issues like that to try and decide where to put your money. You know, it's not that easy. And what you do tend to do is that we scream the headlines, and the headlines are, oh, you know, South African market at all-time high, U.S. markets hit all-time highs.
Yeah.
That's all very well, but I mean, underneath it all is a market that's still very, you know, very tentative. And now, and I just look at the futures as we're talking now, it looks like the S&P is going to open down over 1%, and
yes,
I think
indeed.
Likewise with the Dow. So, you know, from where we were, there's going to be a little bit of sell-off now. What will turn it? Maybe results. We're going to see the bank results come through this week. We're going to soon see tech results within the next 2 weeks, which will be for the end, the quarter end, et cetera. But I think I think there's also concern about, you know, where Trump goes and what trouble he can create in the last week. I mean, this is just unprecedented. Just it's almost difficult. I wasn't around at Pearl Harbor, not far away though.
Mm.
But I mean, it's one of those issues. It's a 9/11 issue. It was a Pearl Harbor, you know, Kennedy issue. And I still cannot grasp what happened. When I see those images that have been posted, you know, of people kind of storming Washington, I still feel very unsettled by this whole thing.
Yes, it is unsettling, and I think those people are marshalling their forces. I know that Trump has been banned from Twitter, and also I see that Apple has removed the Parler app from its app store, and I think this will infuriate them even more. You're sort of poking the nest of hornets, if you like, and I do think there's going to be more in the next 10 days or so, and even beyond that, because Mr. Trump will be a private citizen after that, if he's not in jail, which he should be, of course. He should be in jail. He should be in an orange suit, that man. I don't even want to call him a man, because he's a derivative of a man.
I don't think it's far away. Mm. I don't think that's far away. I don't think that's unreal. I think that there will be – this is going to go on for a long time. There will be inquiries into what happened. And they will, you know, look to who incited them. And I mean, the evidence is quite clear. What is still unclear is the Republican Party and how many people are still supporting him or are supporting him in silence. You know,
what are they scared of, David? What do you think they're scared of?
Why
can't they just say, no, you're an idiot?
Well, you know what happens? I think to a large extent they're worried about their base. And I think that they're measuring their morality or their values against their power and what their base will say. My own view is that he's finished. I think that base is you know, that base is dead. Look, there's always been a base. There's always, in any environment, even to this day, there are pro-Hitler people, despite what he did. Yes. You know, you can go to Germany, you can go to any country. You know, even in the UK, you used to have the skinheads and people like that who are very similar type of people. And it happens in every country that you do have extremists or extremists on the right.
But so on the other hand, just before you go on, there's always been a minority, and they're always very vocal, and they always get the headlines, which they shouldn't get. But what happened last week in the United States of America on the attack on the Capitol, and therefore an attack on the American public and attack on democracy, was very, very disturbing that it was allowed to happen. And some people were complicit in that attack, I think. It didn't just happen.
No.
It was well organized, of course.
You know what? There was something that arose that I hadn't realized as well. There were a lot of people in there from QAnon or from what they call Proud Boys or something.
That's right.
And yes, there's a lot of debate there. But there were people with something, 6MNE. 6MNE.
What's that?
That's 6 million, not enough. In other words, 6 million Jews were killed. That was not enough.
Oh, yeah, the anti-Semitic rhetoric. Yes, Semitic, I did. Yeah, okay.
Now, I'm saying when those kind of things come through, and I'm saying when you start, you know, when you start to support groups with that kind of attitude, who are blatantly exposing their views. I don't, you know, being Jewish, of course, it's very, very sensitive to me.
Yes.
But, you know, to have people in control, you know, in authority, still not criticizing this or certainly supporting it, you know, as you have the Trump family as patriots, you know, calling them patriots, which Ivanka Trump did. You know, these people are among them. It's, in other words, if there's one person like that, if there are two, three, four, five like that, it still contaminates that whole crowd and gives you some idea of what these people stand for.
So
can't differentiate.
So excuse me, let's carry on with the Jewish angle. Where's Netanyahu now? I mean, these people cozy up with each other. I mean,
exactly.
it's a financial thing, obviously, because Trump is supported by Netanyahu and his finances. We all know that. But why does Netanyahu not come out and say, listen, your followers that have just assaulted the world have been blatantly anti-Semitic.
Exactly.
Why doesn't he say something?
Well, that baffles me. You know, that baffles me because he does have a big support because of his attitude towards Israel. I mean, it creates huge fights within the community. You know, there's those who support him and those that don't. Generally, by and large, the Jewish community has always been democratic, has always supported the Democrats.
Yes.
Look, America's been very good to Israel. But I mean, more recently, there has been a move to Trump because of his attitudes, you know, his attitude toward the Middle East and what he has done for Israel. But I mean, that's one side of it. The other side is what I saw, which is just shaken me dramatically. I didn't know what it was. Someone had to explain that to me. And, you know, when you see that, it just gives you some idea of what these people are, or how far right they are, you know, how far right wing they are. So, yeah, that's, you know, understand who these people are, you know, understand who these people are that did invade. And also to have no regard. I don't mind you protesting peacefully, by all means, you know, whether you believe Trump or not. But, I mean, to actually do what they did, So I think what we're getting to is that I still think people are very unsettled by what happened, you know, very, very unsettled by where this is going and how the president of the United States could have taken his country to that low level. So I'm not surprised. Put this on top of the pandemic and that, and the number of deaths that we're getting in the United States, you know, I'm not surprised we're getting some kind of a sell-off on that. You know, my own view is I would like to say, oh, just give me a break. You know, just let me go away for 2 weeks, close off the computers and do you know what I mean? Just walk away from these things. It's not my nature to do that, but I'm saying you do get to a level of fatigue where you you can't quite digest what you're seeing in front of you.
No, even after a holiday, we should be invigorated after taking a couple of weeks off. But of course, because we work from home, it doesn't feel as though we've had a couple of weeks off. I just can't believe what I'm going through here. Everything's closed. Everything is closed. I'm looking out at the street now, which would normally be quite busy with people toing and froing from work in the street outside my little studio here. But there's nothing. There's no one. It's quiet. Not a bird is singing, not a child is riding his or her bicycle. It's just unbelievable. I don't know what the world's economy is going to look like in 3 months when the real figures come through.
I had a taste of it now because on Saturday is my grandson's bar mitzvah in Boston. Well, he's in New York, but he's actually at the Boston at the moment. But they have virtual school and they online schooling. And, of course, they celebrated his bar mitzvah at school this morning. And we were invited to attend the ceremony and that. And his whole grade, he's in grade 7 at a school. It's a conservative Jewish school.
Yes.
And by conservative, not in the conservative politically. It's not Orthodox. It's they call it conservative. So they do have women rabbis and things like that, which are rather odd. But nevertheless... It was. I just looked and saw this whole grade, and I saw these poor kids there at their desks, trying to be attentive, you know, trying to be involved. And it's just not the same. I'm sure you go through the motions, but I think there must be nothing more difficult than sitting here trying, you know, do your schooling without being. You know, the nice thing at school was having your friends around you.
Yes.
If the teacher said something, you would snigger and you know, you pass notes to each other and, you know, just get up to mischief at lunchtime or in the break.
I would never have done that, but obviously you were a very naughty child. David?
It must be so difficult for these kids. Yeah.
You've alluded to the fact that you're trying to get a presentation together. What is it going to be? What's it going to say? What is the message going to be?
I tell you what, I did a lot of reading, and it's difficult to get it to keep people attentive in that. But Lindsay, what I find very exciting, and it doesn't apply to the market now, is that the pandemic has actually brought forward the future in technology. In other words, the acceleration of technology. So I think what you're finding now, and what I found very exciting as well, is the adoption of technology. You know, has fast-tracked the use of technology that wasn't expected for years. You know, so little old ladies are actually using e-commerce and so on. And I think what's going to happen, and this is the punchline that I picked up, is that there's going to be a push for change. In other words, we're going to not try and protect what happened or repair what happened in the past, but rather build what's going to happen in the future. And when I started reading further, you know, we talk about, okay, if you're going to be online, we've got to improve it. Or if you're going to have online or e-commerce, it's got to make it better because we're missing going to a shop and trying on things and that. And technology is going to develop or evolve to a point where you actually enjoy the online service. In other words, you don't look at the one line, you know, because when I want to look for a plug or I want to look for a pencil or whatever, a pair of shoes or something, you know, you know what I mean?
The three
but
Ps.
You'll be able to go to bots. Yeah, you can go to a bot. And there will be technology developed that allows you to virtually try on stuff, look and see what it is. It's going to give you depth and that. This is all coming. This will come with 5G and other, you know, better chips and better things like that. So entertainment, you know, all these issues, payment systems, all of these are actually evolving. So they're not going back to where we are. They are taking us further. And I think that's the... You know, that to me has been the attraction of where we will be thanks to the pandemic, because it's brought stuff that we would have only been doing in 3 to 4 to 5 years' time. You know, we're doing it now. So I think that's where I'm trying to go. Listen, there are a lot of headlines that are going to go through. You know, there are a lot of risks, and you're going to get people very cautious of risks. You know, this has made us much more worried about things that can happen, whether it's a cyber attack, as we saw with the Russians, you know, on the US government. There are going to be medical worries. You know, can we get another one? How do we stop this ever happening? Or how do we see that we're prepared? Greening, you know, what they call green tech now, is you dare not have a company that you know, emits carbon or bad air. You know, I think you're going to have to change, and you're going to have to deal with these kind of things. So a lot of things are going to happen because of what this pandemic has brought upon us. So it's around that. It's where do you position yourself? That's going to be the challenge.
Well, go to Bank of America, and they say the warning signs that stocks are hurtling into bubble territory are growing, and Bank of America has pinpointed 6 points that could signal a bear market is beginning. And it says here investors are rationalizing increasingly irrational price action on Wall Street. So there's an rationalization of irrationality, which is an interesting comment, certainly from Bank of America. And if it's Bank of America, that's a fairly big financial institution. They must be positioning themselves for that. If they wouldn't put it out and then suddenly start to sell, they'll start to sell and then put that out. We get these articles, but it is getting a little bit frothy, I think.
You know where I have to agree. In certain levels, when you look at the Tesla, you know, and listen, there are many bulls out there, and I'm saying if I deal with pension money and other people's pension, I can't go into a stock like that.
Of course
that is not fundamentally based. You know, that's not generating the kind of cash that justify those prices. I can't buy Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin goes to 40,000 and then flies back to 32,000. And you're saying, when you look at the people who are sending me messages and telling me to buy Bitcoin, you've got to also question, hold on a sec, are these the miners?
It fell 21% yesterday, David. On a Sunday, it fell 21%. I mean, this is not something that you can touch. I mean, I'm not a serious investor like you are. You're a rational, long-term investor and have done very well over the decades. But the point is that if you look at the platform that I look at, which is a weekend trading platform just when I'm bored between football matches, you look at Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies, and the screen's flashing every single second. People are trading, they're buying, they're selling. It fell 21% yesterday. Yeah. This is not an asset class. This is a casino.
You see what happened? It is a casino, and what happens is you bring the professionals in. So you bring the derivative trades, and you start writing options on it, or you can go short on it. And when you start to get the big money, they take out the small money so fast that these chaps don't know what to do. You know, so they take out the Robin Hooders so fast that they hit. In the Tesla case, it wasn't that. You know, it was that it was included in the S&P, and there were genuine buyers in that.
Yes.
But, I mean, you've got to be very
forced buyers, actually. Index trackers.
The market has opened. Nasdaq down about 1.3%. The S&P down 0.8%. But I think it's going to be a difficult. I don't mind. I honestly don't mind if we have a couple of weeks of just some sobering up, you know, allowing us to absorb what we've gone through, just giving us a bit of a rest and respite where we don't have to think too hard. You know, we can actually say, okay, the market's falling, fine.
I hate thinking hard.
Listen, last week we had a mad week here. The JSE was up over 7%. Why? Because, Lindsay, there were some stocks, the mining stocks were up in the Billiton, Anglos, Glencore, all in the region in 1 week of 17%, 18%, or 20%.
Yeah.
I mean, just some mad, mad movements in there. So
it was mad. And the fact that you say the word mad and everything we've spoken about means that there's not going to be a huge sell-off. But when I look now at my US 10-year Treasury bond yield, which myself and Nick talk about every day, suddenly it's at its lowest level for many, many months. Suddenly 112.5, and it was 0.88 just 2 weeks ago. And as I said to Nick this morning on the opening, someone is unwinding and doing it very carefully, but you can't disguise that from the market. There is a big, big unwinding of a bond position going on. Mm. And what he said to me was, there's a hedge fund in trouble and something may happen. He didn't say there was. He just said he thinks that there may be a possibility that a hedge fund is in trouble. And that might disrupt the rest of the asset classes. Yeah. Who knows? Mm. But the US 10-year bond yield is now 1.124. Which is...
Is it 1.124? That's big, yeah.
It is a big move.
Look, it's
a huge move.
Yeah, it's shaking up people, sure.
Okay, let's talk about football. There was only FA Cup over the weekend, which is boring to me.
It is.
It's like a little fringe tournament.
It's only when you see Crawley beat Leeds, you know.
Then
you get excited, you know, I mean.
It's 3-0. I mean, they just didn't. Leeds didn't take it seriously. If they wanted to win that game, they could have won it at a canter, I think. But anyway, that's the FA Cup. We'll talk about the Football League next week. David Shapiro is from Sasson Securities, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.